اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Please say another salawat all together. This was good salawat, but not together. Please say another salawat all together. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات صلوات. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our days and nights, and may Allah accept worships of all mu'mineen and mu'minat, and especially fasting during the holy month of Ramadan. One of the du'as of A'imma alayhi salam, and that they asked during the holy month of Ramadan, Allahumma ja'al siyami siyam as-sa'imin. Allah, make our fasting like the fasting of people, those who really fast. وَقِيَامِ فِيهِ قِيَامَ الْقَائِمِينَ. And make my stand during the night like the people, those who stand for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the personalities of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and especially Imam-e-Zaman. Please, for the love of Imam-e-Zaman, say salawat. Allahumma subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday I started this verse from Surah Ahzab, but I could not complete, so I would like to just complete that and then go to the conditions about the nikah. And as we reached to discuss about nikah itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after stating about some of the conditions of Muslimin and Mu'mineen, and that is narrated, and the qualities that are gradually has to be adopted in the life of mu'min. So first step that was said as Islam, submission. Second was faith, because without Islam one cannot have faith. And third is obedience, that was said yesterday. And fourth, after obedience, is sidq. وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. A obedient person can be truthful. You cannot expect from a person who is not obedient that he can be an honest person as well. Honesty, it comes through obedience. And Islam itself is base, and submission is base of being honest and truthful. Yes, sometimes we are truthful because of our business, or being honest has become just as a business. That is something different. But being honest in life, being honest in religion, being honest in practices, that is something different. So that means if my business is involved, at that time I'm honest person. But when there is no benefit of my life, that I can do whatever I like. I can make the stories, I can break the stories, and I can manipulate everything because of my business. So honesty is a business sometime. As we can see in these societies, Most of the time, honesty is just as business. It's not part of their life or part of the faith. So if they get out of the business at that time, they are going to commit those inhuman crimes that you can see in all over the world. That's not just any more honesty, but that's not humanity. So وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ, after stating obedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the people, those who are truthful and honest, honest male and female, وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ, for sidq and truthfulness, there is another thing that is required that comes after you become honest and truthful. That means when you can stand what you say, act upon what you state, that brings patience. That means patience is required when you like to be truthful. If you do not be truthful, there is no need to have patience, because you can change with the circumstances, right? Anybody can change with the circumstances. If circumstances are good, then it's honest. When circumstances are not good and business is down, then you can do whatever you like, right? Then what type of patience is required? Because person has already changed. If there is a government that is suitable with their needs, at that time they are honest. But when government changes, then they are also changed. If something is in their benefit, at that time they are honest. But when there is no benefit, at that time they are not honest. There is no patience required. So that is why after sadaqat, it has been said, as-sabirin was-sabirat. And there you can imagine sabr and the patience of Khadija salamullahi alayha. This personality was really sabir because of her sadaqat, and stand what she said. That is why the Quran has said that من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما أحد الله عليه. Sidq, that means when you make a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you stand on that promise as well. If you make a mission statement of your life, then you take stand on that mission statement as well. And Hazrat Khadija, she was the one who made a mission statement, who submitted Islam, and then she was complete patient personality. والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات. If somebody practices sabr and patience, if somebody can be patient, then it provides another foundation. It's really interesting, because when Quran has said that is gradual process, and somebody needs to sit down sometime, if somebody can take this verse and break it down and see how gradually can be improved, and what are the qualities that help other qualities. This is really interesting, that we see that what are the qualities that can help to improve some other qualities. So when Quran has said khashain, khashain, that means those who have khushu', humbleness. Being khashi, that means humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and humble within the society. Humbleness comes after patience. If somebody is not patient, you cannot accept to be humble. This humbleness is result of practicing the sabr in the life. That is why you can see Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. By being sabir, is so humble personality. A total humble personality before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humble even up to the final moment, final drop of his life, is humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This humbleness is required. Maybe somebody becomes angry when there are difficult times and difficult circumstances at that time. They practice anger. They are not humble at that time. Amirul Mu'mineen is humble. Even if he stands on the top of enemy and he can kill at that time, but is humble. This patience provided him a control on his nafs, that he would like to kill an enemy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for his own desires. That is the humbleness. And when you have khushu', being humble, it also gives another opportunity. That is charity, being charitable. How somebody can be charitable in life? What are the possible ways? Islam makes a person charitable. Faith also makes a person charitable. Obedience makes a person charitable. And then sidq and truthfulness, sabr, khushu', all these qualities are required that person can be a charitable person. But a charity like charity of Khadija salamullah alayha, making many slaves as free, giving money in order to the people they can be free. That is why sometimes Aim alayhi salam, they used to say, Yabnat tulaqa, all the people, those who are being freed by our forefathers, our mother, Yabnat tulaqa, or sons of those who are being freed by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is a tasadduq, a charity of the life, a charity to free the people, a charity to bring the people, with the people freedom. And tasadduq, it provides another opportunity. You know, charity, it's total charity. There are certain types of charity. It is said in hadith, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ زَكَاتٌ وَلِلْبَدَنِ زَكَاتٌ. Charity, also charity of the badan, charity of the body. Our body needs to have a charity. What is that charity of the body? As-sawm, was-sa-imina, was-sa-iman. So you see, sequence is there. When somebody can give charity, then that person can give charity of the body as well. He can prepare himself. But when it comes after khushu', being humble. A humble person can give charity, charity of the body. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. This is interesting. Today's world has become a world of sexuality, unfortunately. It seems that everything is sexual, nothing else. Nothing remains in this world. But when you see life of a mu'min person starts his life or her life from Islam, submission, faith, khushu', sadaqat. Then it comes the protection of furuj. That means there are many things required in order to reach up to the point that somebody can have that quality of haya, modesty. Protection of the life of haya. If haya, somebody wants to have haya, then all these qualities are required. If any of these qualities are not there, for example, somebody is not humble and is not fasting, as I said in the previous speeches, that it is said that either a young man, a youth, has to get married in order to control their desires, or should fast. There are two ways to control our desires, to control the lusts. One of the best methods that has been said, that Ahlul Bayt said, you should go get married, or what you need to do, you need to fast. That is why before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about حَافِظِينَ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ, it's been said, as-sa'imina was-sa'imah. That means sawm, fasting, it provides us control on our desires. A command of the nafs is going to be in the hands of person himself. That means a person can be commander, leader. You are not being led, but you are leader. So Islam provides an opportunity to be leader. In order to train our youth to be leader, you need to make them humble. Ask them to practice fasting. And when they can fast and they can be leader of their own body, that person can be leader of the community as well. But if somebody cannot lead a small piece of his body, a land that has been given in his hands, how that is possible that he would be able to lead a community, to lead the people? Please say salawat. And this guarding our private life, private parts, that also provides us وَالدَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ وَالدَّاكِرِينَ وَالدَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالدَّاكِرًا. It's beautiful. This ayat is really beautiful. Somebody needs to read sometime with the sequence and see those verses of Quran in depth, apply in our life. This dhikr cannot come in everybody's life. Not everybody would be able to have that remembrance unless he has command on his body, a full control on the desires. A desireful person cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the top list, that after you go through this gradual training of your life, that is the time you can be considered as dhakir. That is the point a person can be considered as dhakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we call dhakir that anybody goes on member, that is considered as dhakir. No, that is not dhakir that's been said over here. Dhakir, that means the person who recites the majlis. A dhakir in Quran, that means the person who lives in the state of remind, always reminds himself, always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living with Allah, that is dhakir. Dhakirin Allah kathira. Kathira in a tafsir has been said all the time. Sometimes we can say most of the time, but mufassirin have said that it means in all their lives they are dhakir. Dhakirin Allah wa dhakirat. A'adda lahum maghfiratan wa ajran azeema. The reward that has been set for these group of people, these are the rewards given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared forgiveness for them, and there is a greater ajr for this group of people. No one knows what is greater ajr. It's not been said this is going to be the ajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept that secret. Ajran Azeema. So somebody, you know, when you announce a competition and you say that after the competition we will have a very important reward. So you don't say that it's going to be what it's going to be. It's $200, $300, $400. There is a suspense. Right? In this suspense there is a lutf. There is a blessing. There is a special blessing. When Allah said أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, for them there is a greater ajr. When we like to look at something, then we have to see who has announced about ajr. Sometimes president announces, says that there will be a greater reward. Right? So when a president is going to say, then that greatness is different than somebody in IEC announces that. Right? It depends on the greatness of the person. How great he is, his greatness, it depends that then he's going to decide what great reward he's going to give. Then we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great in a dua that we recite every day in a month of Ramadan. Ya Aliyu, Ya Azeem. Oh, the one who is high, the one who is great. Ya Ghafuru, Ya Rahim. Oh, the one who is forgiver and Rahim. So the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. That means there is no equal to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. is unique in the greatness, he's alone in the greatness, then if he says ajran avima, then one needs to expect that greatness, it should be that forever and eternal ajr that is going to be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is salawat. There is a concept of engagement in our communities most of the time, and sometimes we make that as equal to the nikah or aqd. And if somebody breaks that, then there are some consequences. Although in Islam, there is no such a place that with khasgari or engagement, there is any nikah involved. Somebody cannot break, or in order to break that khasgari or engagement, somebody has to give itlaq or divorce, or there has to be some sort of consequences. But there can be a place, a mutual agreement. We can just call that as a mutual agreement, that they are being agreed after they looked upon, after they have observed all the qualities, and then they agreed upon something, that they would like to get married. Yes, there is a matter of time, that after a few days, after a few months, for example, they are going to get married. And we can see in the life of Amirul Mu'mineen and Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayhi. That after their commitment or engagement, there was a month, according to some narration, there was a month that when they got married. So that was the time that was committed. And for engagement of Khadija, salamullah alayha, it is very interesting that Prophet, peace be upon him, had chosen Hazrat Abu Talib to go and discuss about everything. So Hazrat Abu Talib was one of the great personality of the Makkah. At that time, he was considered as the guardian of Baytullah, al-Haram, and also one of the grand personality of Quraysh. So he goes to discuss about the marriage and to take the proposal of the marriage. And there were very interesting points that are related to our subject. First of all, Hazrat Abu Talib, he goes to Waraqa. He did not go directly to Khadija. Although Khadija, she was adult, and Hazrat Abu Talib could go to this personality. That means the approach, it has to be to speak with the people, those who are guardian, father, parents, to speak with them, to keep that modesty, and also to keep that dignity and prestige of that female. It's good that if we speak with the people, those who are the guardian or the parents. So Hazrat Abu Talib goes over there and he speaks with Waraqa. When he started speaking with the Waraqa, Hazrat Abu Talib had said a sermon in the beginning. That sermon, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that sermon he says that we are the chosen progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We are from the family of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So that means Abu Talib was not the person, na'udhu billah, an ignorant person, but a personality who was well known with the knowledges of the previous teachings, and the personality who knew about his past history, and who knew that he is one of the descendants of Ibrahim and Ismail. And after giving the sermon, then he makes his proposal, that I came asking you that if you can marry Khadija with my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And whatever dowry you would like to decide, we will give that dowry as well. So that means he knew that in a nikah there is a need of the dowry. So he speaks about the dowry. And also he says that on the day of marriage, we would like to have walima tuz zafaf, walima for the marriage. We will also set a walima for the marriage as well. So that is also another recommendation. We can understand that Walima also, it may become as a tradition of Abu Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the one who set the standard on that day when he wanted to marry Prophet, peace be upon him. And then he asked Warqa that if he accepts that proposal or not. And Warqa was little hesitant when he wanted to speak at that time because of the, it is said in history that because of the eloquency of the khutbah of Abu Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, and because of the praises that he said about Prophet peace be upon him, he was little hesitant to speak. So he started speaking. While he was hesitant, Hazrat Khadija shows up, and she opens a little bit curtain, and there she says that, oh my uncle, I give you a lot more respect, but I would like to get married with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should not be hesitant of that. Yes, you are my guardian, but at the moment, I have my authority in my hands. So that means there is an age. After that age, a female becomes authorized, that she has authority, she can decide herself. Not necessary that guardian has to decide. He was uncle, and she was also aware that uncle is the guardian, he's looking after, but in marriage, I have my own authority. And she said another interesting thing, that she said that I would like to offer the mahar from my properties. So this was very interesting. That has not been any tradition in any other Islamic values. That I would like to offer dowry from my properties. And Abu Talib alayhi salatu wasalam stands up and he says that people, you can see that Khadija has accepted the proposal, and also she has offered the mahriya and dowry from her properties. And there somebody stands up and makes objection on Abu Talib, that do you think that the dowry is going to come from the female? It is right of female, she can ask. But you are saying that she's going to give dowry to the man? Abu Talib becomes angry. He stands up. And it is said that when, in tradition, it is said that when he used to become angry, at that time, people of Makkah, they used to sit like children in front of him, because he was with the haybat and respect and honor. There was a special honor for Abu Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He stands up with that anger, and he says that with the qualities that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has, if female, they give their dowry in order to get married with him, that is worthy. That is good for them. But if you were there, then he appoints that person. If you were there, then you have to give the dowry in order to get married. So there is difference. That was really interesting, that there can be possibility sometime if a person is highly qualified and with those qualities that infallible has, or the personality of Prophet, peace be upon him, has, over there, even if the dowry is being offered, that is going to be accepted. And with that, Hazrat Abu Talib performed the marriage ceremony of Prophet and Khadija, salamullahi alayhima. When Abu Talib was speaking about dowry, he also mentioned about mahr mu'ajjal and mahr mu'ajjal. So there are two types of the mahr in a nikah. One is called mahr mu'ajjal and mu'ajjal. Mu'ajjal, it becomes from ajala. So it is used in Persian as well. Ajala, that means at the same time, with the hisni, or in the same event of marriage, if dowry has been given, that is mu'ajjal. Mu'ajjal, it becomes from ajal. That means a limited time, whenever it is demanded. So there can be two types of the dowries. Not necessarily somebody has to give the dowry at the same time. Dowry has to be known. It has to be perfectly defined. We cannot say a vague dowry. It has to be completely known that the people, they can understand this is a dowry. We cannot say that I'm going to give whatever she likes. No, this is not a dowry. You have to say what it is amount, and it has to be perfectly known. So mu'ajjal, that means at the time of nikah. Mu'ajjal, that means which is being said later on, but on the demand of the female. Second thing that we can understand why Abu Talib alayhi salatu wasalam had accepted that she can offer her dowry. Why he had accepted? Because dowry is right. It is not something due. For example, I have a right, and I can overlook the right as well. And I can say, I will offer my right from myself. So let's say, for example, if I have been committed to give an hour lecture in the school, and I said that I will ask $12 for an hour, right? So this $12 is my right to ask. And sometime I can say that I don't want these $12. Today I would like to give free lecture. This is my right. I can do that. And sometime I say that today I'm going to pay $12 in order to give this lecture, because this lecture is really worthy. When Hazrat Khadija saw the qualities of Prophet, peace be upon him, then she offered her marriage, that she would like to give dowry in order to get married. Please say salawat. Now when we look at the statements of nikah, statement of nikah is not something that Maulana has to recite. So now you're going to say that Maulana, you are breaking your business, you know. That people, they come to you and asking for a nikah. No, it's not part of business anybody. If people, they are prepared. So I was really happy that in one of the ceremonies, both bride and groom, they said, Maulana, you can come over there, you say the sermon, and after that, the statement of nikah, we will perform ourselves. So they are sitting one side and other side, and first female said, because she has to start. So there are two parts of nikah. One is called ijab, and second is called qubul. Ijab has to come from female. Ijab, that means making an offer of nikah. That is why she says, ankahtu. I would like to marry myself. Wife or female marries, man accepts. People, they say that Islam gives importance to man. That is wrong. Islam gives importance to the female. So over here, they say that woman comes first, right? In Islam also, it is said that when you like to get married, she has to say her statements. And man has to accept. That's it. If he accepts, there's going to be marriage. And not necessary that longer statements have to be said. That is just for the precaution sometimes. Sometimes if seagulls are pronounced, they are being pronounced just as a precaution. That, for example, if there are any conditions are being stated, if, for example, an permission is being taken from the parents, that has to be stated, and mahar has to be stated, all these things has to be stated in order to marry somebody. That somebody can say with the certainty that both are got married. Otherwise, if before that they set all the conditions, everything, and female says that ankahtu nafsi, and male says that qabiltu linafsi, that is marriage. It is done. So it's very easy. It's not difficult. Everybody can do that. And especially, for example, people, they ask sometimes about shorter marriage, or the seagulls of the shorter marriage. That is also same, but only the difference between both sigas, both statements, it is the time limit. In a permanent marriage, there is no time limit. And in temporary marriage, there is a time limit. If you set time limit before, if somebody sets the time limit before, and they decide on that, and then they make that nikah, that is going to be short-term marriage. So if after setting the time, this nikah is going to be for 4 days, and mahar and dowry is $10, right, for example. It's very cheap, but then also it's dowry. If it is $10, right? If they set both, and after that, one said ankahtu, another said qabiltu, that is going to be the marriage. Yes, in order to make it real solid, they can say ankahtu limuddatin ma'luma, alal mahr al-ma'lum. Another says the qabiltu limuddatin ma'luma, alal mahr al-ma'lum. So that is because for that certain period. And on the certain mahriya, we have accepted. We have accepted that. So that is considered as a marriage within Islam. Inshallah, tomorrow I will again speak about those conditions within the marriage, because that is a really important subject, and many people, they do not know about that. And these conditions sometimes make confusions. What type of conditions we can have in the marriage, and what type of condition we cannot have in the marriage. Sometimes people, they think that they can list whatever they like. So these are the conditions, and that becomes part of the marriage. No, there are many conditions somebody cannot place, especially those conditions which are totally against the Islamic values. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah accept our fasting and the worships during the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive us during this month. May Allah accept our tawbah during this month. May Allah provide us the place close to Himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive mu'mineen wa mu'minat. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' baynana wa baynuhum bil khayrat innaka mujibu al-da'wat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. At the end, because time